Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us heaps. We thank you for the opportunity to listen to your word and now to have your word encourage and rebuke us, correct us and train us. Lord, we pray that we'll be taught in a way which glorifies you and we will respond to the things that we have done that you don't like with godly sorrow. And we ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Well, what are the injustices you faced in life? I didn't think I'd ask my kids because I thought I would feature at the front of most of them. But what are the injustices you've faced? Have there been injustices of war? Well, maybe in our first congregation far more likely, but certainly not in our second one. But there are still injustices of war, I'm sure, that people have faced. What about economic injustices? Injustices in the workplace, where people have used their positions of power to hurt you, to stop you doing things that you should be doing. Injustices that have impacted you physically or mentally or spiritually. Injustices where people have abused you, used their position of power to hurt you and take advantage of you. This morning we look at one of the big accusations that people often have against Christianity, one that often causes them to reject it. That is, the church, they claim, is the cause of so much injustice. The conclusion that is often drawn from that accusation is that because the church has been a place of great injustices, the church should be removed from its position of influence in society, or, for some, removed from society altogether. As we're going to see, that whilst the church has an awful lot to answer for in the way that it's conducted itself, these conclusions are wrong. In fact, when they've been enacted, they've been disastrous. Once again, here's the claim that has caused people to doubt the truthfulness of Christianity. The claim is the church is the cause of so much injustice. And for some people, that will be an accusation that comes straight from their heart. For some, they've experienced these injustices. For others, it will be an excuse. I finally found an excuse that shuts them up and stops them talking to me about Jesus. And sometimes for us as Christians, that accusation is something that stalls us, that stops us identifying as a follower of Jesus in the world that we operate in. And we don't identify because we are scared that we will add to their list of woes of what the church has done to them. I wonder what your thoughts are concerning the accusation that the church is the cause of so much injustice. Some of these injustices are in our media, aren't they? We have a national sexual abuse inquiry that the media quite often forgets that it includes an awful lot of organisations, but it certainly includes the church. How should we respond to those accusations? How is it that a church is filled with so much injustice? Well, let's begin by seeing what the scriptures say about God and justice. Should we actually, as God's people, even expect justice to happen in this broken and sinful world? It might seem an obvious question. Is God really all that concerned with justice? Well, here's two things that God's word says that helps us understand that God loves justice. Not just justice in eternity, but justice here and now. Proverbs 16, verse 8. Better a little with righteousness than much with injustice. Jeremiah 22:13. Woe to him who builds his palace by unrighteousness, his upper rooms by injustice, making his countrymen work for nothing, not paying for their labour. In fact, in more than 100 direct references to justice in the Bible, we see very clearly that God loves justice. God is deeply upset when his people act unjustly towards each other and when they act unjustly towards those outside the people of God. God has a deep desire for justice in this world because it goes to the very heart of his character. Let me read to you Revelation 15, verse 3 and 4. Great and marvellous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Justice is a reflection of the character of God. Just and true are his ways. Justice is a good thing. God desires it in all of us who follow him. So why, if that is the case, is the church accused of so much injustice? Why do we make the news? Why is it an excuse for people to reject Jesus? I want to answer that question by first of all looking at what justice is and what it isn't, or maybe just what it is in the time we've got. And then I want to look at whether the accusation is valid and when it's not valid. And I also want to spend some time looking at how we should respond to the accusation. So when people accuse the church of being unjust, it is a good question for us to ask, what do you mean by justice? If we're going to accuse someone of being not being just, it is important we've actually established what justice is all about. What is the justice that's been denied? In a dictionary article, I read these words: justice is the quality of being just or fair. Now, I didn't find that all that helpful, actually. Justice is the quality of being just or fair. So I read on, always a helpful thing to do. It went on to say, the principle of moral rightness or equity, the conformity to a moral rightness in action or attitude. A little more helpful. And it went on to say, justice is the conformity to truth, fact, or sound reason. Now, we need to remember that for later on. But we instantly got a problem. Whose worldview, whose set of moral principles helps us establish what justice is all about? Whose set of moral principles or worldview is used when accusing the church of being unjust or unjust? And I want to avoid the question, but the simple fact is that sometimes we are accused of being unjust. And the reason why we're accused of being unjust is their reasons are based on a different set of values or worldview to ours. We might be acting perfectly justly, but someone else finds that very unjust, for they have a different set of values. It's sometimes argued there's something called natural justice. Natural justice is supposed to be sort of something that rights and wrongs that are deeply embedded in your DNA that we all know regardless of what culture, and we don't need a God to tell us. I think it's a dodgy claim. I think our culture assumes a set of values. In Australia, a Judeo-Christian ethic, a heritage that's been deeply embedded in the culture or psyche of our society. But should people think that there really is a set of values that is deeply embedded in people and others have just turned their backs on them, then that could be well true, and it could be part of the created order that God gave us. It still doesn't remove God from the picture. I don't want to sidestep the accusation, but I do want to point out that when we are being accused of being unjust, or we accuse someone else of being unjust, we are appealing to a worldview that assumes a set of moral codes and values. And sometimes those moral codes and values are very different. We then need to then work out whose values, whose moral codes are right and true, and whose are wrong. Now, that is a bigger discussion than just the time we've got today, but let me give you an example of why we need to go that sort of depth. If radical Darwinism is and the moral neutrality, sorry, that comes with it is true, then their view of justice and their view of right and wrong is arbitrary and quite meaningless. It's inconsistent for a radical Darwinian to complain about the injustices of society, because under their basic assumption is the idea that the powerful will have it over the weak. Only the fittest should survive. And so if we're just products of random chance existence, then there's no reason to get upset when the strongest overpower the weak. It's just the way things are. So justice for a radical Darwinian is an arbitrary and meaningless thing. Now, justice for a Christian, though, is something quite different. We will be saying, we understand justice as being something that's shaped by the character of God. And so a Christian concept of justice is a Christian adopting the values and the plans and purposes of our just and loving God. We use the word righteousness a lot as Christians. The word righteousness and the word justice come from the same root word. So has the church been unjust? We still need to answer that accusation. So even if we use a Christian set of values, a God-given concept of justice, has the church been unjust? Well, sadly and probably quite obviously, the answer is yes. The church is filled with injustices. Sometimes those injustices are huge things, and sometimes they are very minor things. And there's two reasons that the church is filled with injustice. The first reason is that church members and church leaders are not always Christian. Not everyone who comes to church and not everyone who leads a church is actually a follower of Jesus. They're not always concerned about God's concept of justice. In fact, sometimes they flatly reject what God's word says. In one sense, church, as part of a denomination, is just an organisational structure. And some of those organisational structured churches are Christian, and some of them are not. When you have a church that is an organisational church, not a Christian church, and it is led by people who don't give two hoots about what God says, then it's very obvious to see how a church can be filled with injustices. Secondly, church can have a different meaning. Church can have a biblical meaning, that is God's people gathered together. God's people gathered together is not restricted to being a denominational thing. And can the church, God's people gathered together, be unjust? And sadly, again, the answer is yes. We as a church, let's assume everyone here is a converted, passionate follower of Jesus. Everyone here is part of an Anglican church, but also part of a Christian church. None of us are perfect. We are saved, but not one of us can claim to be perfect. This side of heaven, every single one of us gets it wrong. We all participate in injustices. And sometimes we intentionally participate in them. Sometimes we unintentionally participate in them. Sometimes they have big and far-reaching consequences. And sometimes no one else finds out about them. The church, the Christian church, is filled with injustices, even using God's concept of justice, because we are made up of people who are sinners, every single one of us. So what is the solution to a church that is filled with injustices? Well, I've got some. They're not necessarily in the order that they need to be applied, but they can. It could be a helpful order. The first thing that we need to do, either as a church or as an individual follower of Jesus, is admit when you've made a mistake and seek the forgiveness of those that you've wronged. Now, that might seem an obvious thing to say. Christians should be people that are used to admitting that they make mistakes. Our service starts with that every week. But sometimes, as churches and as individuals, we can try and cover up our mistakes rather than admit them. And so, as God's people seeking to live in a way which glorifies and honours God, the solution to the injustices that our church might be part of and that you might be part of within the church is to admit that you've made a mistake and seek forgiveness of those that you've wronged. The second solution that I have down here is that we then need to get more serious about the Bible. The memory verse that we've had is, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be what? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's perspective on life is not that, well, if it doesn't work, don't worry and don't take it too seriously and you'll work it out by yourselves. He shows us how we should live, when we get it wrong, how we should get it right, and how we should keep getting it right. A short examination of history reveals that when injustices have occurred, the people who have wanted the church to get more serious about the Bible The solution to the problem is not for Christians to get more relaxed about the Word of God. The solution is actually for Christians to get more serious about the Word of God. Let me give you an example. Martin Luther King, faced with huge racial prejudices from a Christianized society. And what did he do? He rebuked churches for not being passionate enough about God's word. Because he knew that as Christians got more passionate about the following of God, then the injustices of his society that he was particularly addressing, the injustices to the black Americans, would be reduced or eliminated. He urged people to repent and he urged them to get more serious about following God and his word. William Wilberforce, another example. As the British Parliament voted, the Act of Emancipation was going to cost them millions, in today's terms probably billions of dollars, as that free workforce now is going to cost them lots of money and slave trade was outlawed. The British Empire passed this act of emancipation. It was called economic suicide. But people who were passionate about God's word were driving the desire to bring justice to those who were slaves. The solution to the injustices of the church is repentance, and it's get more passionate about who God is and what he's done for us and being obedient to his word. As I mentioned at the start, the injustices that are found in the church are often used as excuses to reject God. But the solution to injustices is not to give God the flick. If people give God the flick, then they will open up the possibility of even worse outcomes. Why? Well, a society who rejects God has no foundation for establishing right or wrong, which is so important for establishing justice. And not only do they not have a foundation for right and wrong, but they don't have an ability to know or anything in their thinking that suggests an accountability to a higher source or a higher power. Isn't it ironic that some of the greatest injustices of our society have happened under the leadership of people who reject the concept of God altogether? Who are they? Well, the French Revolution, if we want to go back to one of them. I'm not an expert on that, but I've been told that was some of the worldview that certainly shaped the thinking, the actions of people. Pol Pot, Hitler, Stalin. It's not hard to see the big ones in the last century. So using a Judeo-Christian perspective of justice, let me point that out. These godless regimes have caused more injustices than possibly every other action of all the church over all the time. So the solution to injustice is not to give God the flick. The fourth one I just want to mention is that probably the best place to start addressing the problem of injustices in the church is to analyse yourself. I'm probably fairly good at analysing others, but it's best to start on analysing ourselves. What injustices do I dish out? Now, I don't actually want a pile of emails from you guys during the week pointing them out. I want you to analyse yourself. But if you notice one that I'm not doing and I'm blind to it, I'm happy for you to point it out. What are the injustices you're perpetuating in your family, amongst your friends, in your work colleagues? What injustices are you silent about in society that you're not prepared to address? You're a passive supporter or a quiet supporter, really. Now, remember to use God's word as a reference point, for we need to establish what justice is from God's point of view. But analyse yourself and work out what injustices are you part of. Now, I think that'll keep you busy for a while. But remember this, this side of heaven, injustice will always be there. And here's another thing to think about. There are some injustices that you are part of that you will not ever want to stop being part of. The accusation against the church is not always of injustices, is more often than not, I should say, based on a worldview that's very different to the church's or to Christians. At present, anyone who opposes abortion or calls for abortion to be banned is seen in our society as being an unjust person. You see, our society has a worldview that thinks that a woman has a right to kill her baby, her unborn baby at the moment. As Christians, we need to recognise that that worldview is not consistent with God's worldview. Yes, an unplanned pregnancy, an unwanted pregnancy might not be what people want. That is a situation that we need to address as God's people. But it never gives us the opportunity to kill the baby. So our solution as Christians is to look for a different one that's consistent with God's worldview. Maybe adoption, maybe better support for mum and dad, whatever it happens to be. Our position will always be seen as unjust by our society, but it be seen as just by God. Another issue that's prominent in our society today is, of course, the issue of human sexuality. The gay and lesbian lobby group will accuse us regularly of being unjust as a Christian church because we fail to recognise the sexual actions that they want us to recognise. There's a conflicting worldviews. Society might always refer to you as evil and unjust, but you'll simply be being godly when you are obedient to God's word. So sometimes the perceived injustices of the church are ones that we're just going to have to live with. Cop it on the chin and stand firm in obedience to God's word, regardless of what mainstream society says about us. Now, there's plenty of other ethical issues where that issue might be. Let me throw one in, a curveball into us, just to get us thinking a little harder about standing firm in obedience to God's word, regardless, even when society calls us unjust. God created us with male and female, with different gender roles in our churches and in our families. So the way we do church and the way that we do family is often seen as unjust in our society. How will we respond to that accusation? Christians should expect to be accused of injustices when we stand firm on what God's word says with different gender roles in in our families and in our churches. Well, I said that there's no perfect justice until God returns, so just remember that one. Remember that God's concept of justice, one day God will bring the whole world under his judgment. That's a big concept to grasp, but that's actually a really good one for us to know as God's people. You and I are unable to fix all the injustices in society because we're not God. But one day God will bring everything to a perfect conclusion. It's challenging to remember that God's justice will reign, but it's also incredibly comforting. Let's look at one final challenge. When Jesus walked the earth and was confronted by a world full of injustices, what was his desire? When the disciples started the early church and went around in a world that was filled with injustices, what was the thing that they did? They didn't turn a blind eye to the injustices. In fact, Jesus actually rips into the leaders of society, which were religious in their thinking as well, and rebukes them quite regularly for the injustices that they participate in. But what was the solution? They went about preaching the gospel, because they knew that when people's worldview and relationship change with God, they will then have a better foundation to be able to address the injustices in their own lives and the injustices in the relationships that they are part of. So here's our challenging question. How are you standing up for the cause of those treated unjustly, that is, in the eyes of God, without losing your gospel focus and your desire to serve and honour and obey Jesus? How are you standing up to the cause of standing up for the cause of those treated unjustly without losing your gospel focus? Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we have rightly been accused of injustices. Make us more passionate about your word, more obedient to it. Give us a greater desire to glorify your name. Help us to be repentant of those injustices that we have been part of, and help us to seek godly outcomes. But at the same time, Lord, help us to stand firm and be regularly accused of being unjust. Help us to stand firm on your word in a society with a worldview that values things very differently to us. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.